Avoiding your unfinished home projects because you're not sure where to start? Thumbtack knows homes, so you don't have to. Don't know the difference between matte paint finish and satin? Or what that clunking sound from your dryer is? With Thumbtack, you don't have to be a home pro. You just have to hire one. You can hire top-rated pros, see price estimates, and read reviews, all on the app. Download today.
This episode is brought to you by Progressive Insurance. Whether you love true crime or comedy, celebrity interviews or news, you call the shots on what's in your podcast queue. And guess what? Now you can call them on your auto insurance too with the Name Your Price tool from Progressive. It works just the way it sounds. You tell Progressive how much you want to pay for car insurance and they'll show you coverage options that fit your budget. Get your quote today at progressive.com to join the over 28 million drivers who trust Progressive. Progressive Casualty Insurance Company and Affiliates. Price and coverage match limited by state law.
If you're ready for a new job, let Express Employment Professionals help you. Express is already hiring for summer jobs in a variety of industries. Job seekers never pay a fee at Express. Go to expresspros.com to find your location. That's expresspros.com.
Tyler is my daddy.
Live from the Annex Craft House, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
There was completely unnecessary, Tyler.
I knew you'd feel that way, but Bajan, it's Bajani's fault. That's all I'm saying.
It had to be done. It had to be done.
No, it didn't
Tyler.
Have
well,
to
well
be.
Done.
It was Bajani's fault.
It is. I swear. I'm being dead serious with you.
Welcome to our Crawfish Circuit right here, 610's Crawfish Circuit, as we are at stop five. Shout it out. Let me hear from the people that are out here. There we go. My man's got bugs right there. I see you, Joe, over there eating them up. Can't mess with. Oh, the wife's got her some too. There we go, mixing it up. You see it, don't you?
Yeah, he done got out ahead of it. He done got out ahead of it.
Joe got on the Maggie's, got on gloves.
He done Tyler. Got out ahead of it.
An Aggie?
Yeah, an Aggie.
No.
Yeah, an Aggie's got on gloves. Yep.
Bro.
Yep. It's all right, Tyler. He said he had to get it done. hey, Tyler, I ain't gonna lie to you. What I did to that shirt last week. I might need a bib.
Bib.
Am I all right with that?
A lot of places will have them for you. You can tuck it in your shirt. You can tie it around your neck.
Tyler, I took this shirt home, and I tried to do a treatment on it to wash it right away. Because I had to roast the garlic. I tried to do it all. Pull that thing back out.
Didn't come out, did it?
Nah, not a drip of it.
No, sir.
Go ahead and quit that one. Had to fire that one.
Yeah.
No, sir.
When you're a beginner, when you're getting started in your crawfish adventures, it's the eating clean part's a little tougher.
Oh yeah, it looked like it rained.
Still should never be wearing any damn gloves.
It looked like it rained roasted garlic all over.
If you're going to eat crawfish, wear dark gear. That's it.
Yes. Also a great tip.
Before you leave the house, put on dark gear.
I just want you to know that that gray can be ruined too.
And oh, no, it can, but boy, it stands out on that white now.
No, yeah, the white.
Or that minty green.
That minty
you got
green,
on.
Yeah, it stands out. No, but come on, have a good time. The bugs are good. Clint's already punished off three, and 3 pounds. I'm sure he will attack again. And by the way, it is happy hour now at 3 o'clock, so all Mexican beers, you can get $4, draft or bottle. So come on out. By the way, hey, $5 shots, Clint.
What,
buttery nipple
at 1800 500 $5 shots, baby. Jello shots. They got Jello shots around here. Jello shots too, man.
Unless I'm sleeping on this side of town, I got to be careful.
sounds like a party, man.
I just want to let you know. You got them options there. But come on out, have a good time. Congratulations to Nick, our first winner. We will hook somebody up with a $25 gift card to Academy Sports in the 3 o'clock hour. Once every hour, you got a chance to win a $25 gift card. All right, what are some of the – because you feeling like there's something that the Rockets need to target. What's something that the Rockets, in your mind, need to target for this game coming up, game six tonight against the Warriors?
Let's not act like this doesn't happen, right? There's a couple of things going on with Golden State that could really, really change – the outcome of the series. It could damn sure change the outcome of the game. Right now, the end game for the Rockets is to get back to Houston. How can we get this thing back to Houston? And it's blatantly obvious. Now, it's probably a little bit better, but it's blatantly obvious that Jimmy Butler was stiff as all get out after that fall on his tailbone and missing a game and a half. He's one little old slip and fall, one little old run through on a charge. I mean, he's one away from being in some serious pain. And now, you know, after seeing the thumb
there's no way he's not getting something with that.
What?
Shot up or something.
The thumb?
Because it seems to – he seems to be a bit more stiffer in the second half.
Well, like, I mean, here's my experience with it, is when it's something that ties to the back and ties to the hamstring and all that, like, you can deaden certain parts of it, but I don't know that you can keep it from the stiff aspect of it. Like, I don't know how you keep that from happening. But either way it goes, you know, I think that's something that the Rockets could target. I think the thumb of Steph Curry is something that the Rockets could target. I'm talking about a good, hard shooting foul. I don't care if he's at half court. A couple of good, hard fouls early in the game, particularly on that right hand, that right thumb. Maybe even coming from behind him and swiping hard over the top and really, really catching that thumb the right way. Let's not act like it didn't happen in the NBA, especially in the playoffs.
I like where your head's at, man.
Well, it happens.
We're watching Dylan get after it.
Yeah, yeah, yeah. And we got the guys that's perfect for it.
Digging for it.
Yeah. So
I don't think it's beneath Tari Eason either. I just would say he seems like a guy that. But I think Dylan, I think Dylan has practiced in his hotel room. I think
the angle that he's got to come across.
The angle has to come across. Yeah. I think Dylan has practiced all of these. Yeah. Watch film on the release and how he can get it. Because that one he got, that looked clean. That looked good and clean. Like he came and got him right on the release.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. I guess,
I'm dead serious about it.
Oh, I know you are.
I think it's something that could turn the game tonight and could really turn the series ultimately. If you're able to turn the game tonight in any way, shape, or form, obviously the game changes with the Rockets in Houston in a game seven with guys that are banged up again. So I think part of the reason that you saw those guys get yanked early in the last game in game five was in part due to the injury. And so look, I'm dead serious when I say it.
Let me ask you this, because Dylan Brooks after the game was saying it. And was talking about, hey, man, you know, that's what happens. If I had a bad ankle, they would go after me. But you've been in professional sports, played it at a high level. What's too far? What is too far? I can understand that's gamesmanship, man. You got Steph's got an injured thumb, and I'm gonna try. What's too much?
I mean, anything excessive is too much. You don't have to get real excessive to get.
Like
his
if he's
thumb.
Coming around off picks and you're like
no,
that.
I mean, you can't make it obvious. I mean, but you can damn sure. Yeah, I mean, anything I think blatantly obvious, any kind of swing, any kind of punch, anything like that is obviously off limits. But when you're in that game, the way that you can swat at shots and swat at passes and try to steal the ball, you could get real aggressive until fouls become a problem. You get real aggressive in hopes that you make it worse. And then I think the same thing with Butler. I mean, in terms of you know, whoever's guarding him on the defensive end, every time he turns his back, he's catching a knee in that glute. I mean, I think that's all fair game.
Yeah. Yeah, as you said, yeah, not excessive, not making it too crazy. Because
you can't tackle the guy, but – and I wouldn't advise you undercut him again. That would probably not be a good idea. But
no, the thing is, and I think the point you're getting to is, man, either one of those guys not given the output that they need them to, or coming close to giving the output that they need to, changes their team. Because we have watched some of their others step up and come forward like they did in game four. But it's not a given, right? Like that Buddy Hield can go cold and some of these other guys can go cold, and that's not something they depend on. And it's a deal of, if you get, you know, a 17-point effort from one of them, a 15-point effort from one of them, that means others that you don't necessarily have as much faith in, if you're Steve Kerr, have to pick up the slack, and that changes the game big time, and obviously increases the Rockets' chances of winning. If it's at least one of those guys, see, like in game one, they're what, 31-25,
yeah,
you know, and even their last win, Jimmy goes up for 27, and Steph has 17. But yeah, that was a game you had a chance in. Just you had a couple of the other guys go off on you. So if you can just slow at least one of them down, you know, in some form or fashion, like that increases their chances, obviously, big time.
Right. Well, the other side of that too is this is where Draymond Green I think could have a negative impact on what they do.
And by the way, he is probably searching for somebody that, well, like, he's watched the thumb stuff. He's probably searching.
Well, but I mean, you look at him. To me, that's like his style. We've heard the commentators talking about it. Hell, I've heard you say it multiple times just watching regular season games of, like, you know, when they let the game get super physical and he messes around and gets a technical and they know he's one away from getting put out of the game, then they're never going to tighten the reins down. They're going to continue to let him get away with it in order to try to keep him in the game. And I think in turn, you know, everybody, it ultimately leads to a more physical matchup, a more physical game. And when that is the case, the Rockets are a more physical team already, and now you've got two beat-up superstars on the other team. I mean, this could end up playing a huge role.
No,
it should have already played a huge role. Let's be honest. Well, the Rockets get away from
it. But I think it may have been, right? I think those two are probably in worse shape than they were whenever their injuries started, right? I think Steph's probably bothering a lot more than it did in game one.
Yeah.
I'm guessing maybe Jimmy's getting better, but I don't think so. I think this is probably still giving him problems and just dealing with it. So this is something that to look at. If there's anything slowing those guys up, it's big. As I see some people texting in, Draymond, he's going too far. That's how you go too far, just being Draymond. Yes, and I agree. Draymond would be coming after both of those things. He would be coming
no
after
question.
That.
I mean, it would be obvious, and he'd dare the ref to call it. What are you talking about? I'm playing basketball, man.
My son does commit a foul. So no, I agree. By the way, real quick, as we look at this thus far, right, we're going into game six. They're going to play at least six games in this thing, hopefully seven games. And the hope is that they get past this Warriors team and win the next two and start a series at home against Minnesota. But what's the number one thing you've learned thus far in this playoff run for the Rockets? I know it's been five going into six. What's the number one thing you've learned from?
Well, I know we've talked a lot. I think the elephant in the room here with this conversation is definitely Jalen Green. I think the most valuable thing to come out of the playoffs for the Rockets.
It's crazy we're not even talking about him tonight in terms of his performance. It's the first time it's been mentioned.
And hell, I was sold out on him before last.
Never
you know,
would have thought. Never would have thought we wouldn't have. Like, he's going to a spot of, like, hey, man.
Just be a good role player.
Yes, and to a point you don't even talk about.
Yeah.
Like, not even.
Just get us 12 to 15 and stay out of the way. Don't turn it over.
You're not even into a space anymore of, like, man, we need him to do this.
Well, you just can't. We do need him to, but, I mean, you can't bank on it. I mean, it just – because to think the team as a whole is going to shoot damn near 70% is – if it happens, great. But, you do – at some point you're going to need one guy to absolutely be out of his mind. And the best guy for that is Jalen Green. But I don't know that you can wait around. I don't even know that you can plan on it attempting to get him hot the way that you could have earlier in this series. But that's the elephant in the room, I think. But I'll tell you one thing that has really stood out and we know is working and we know is going to be a long-term play for the Rockets is Şengün. As frustrated as it is, as I am with Jalen Green, the Şengün thing is impressive. I mean, he ain't backing down one bit. He's matching the physicality. He, for the most part, has held his cool and not – he's played the Draymond Green you know, played opposite Draymond Green without getting kicked out of a game and without letting Draymond Green getting totally in his head. So I think on a positive side, it's Şengün for me.
He's been great. He's been really, really good in this series. For me, I would say the thing that I have learned is this Rockets team, like, moving forward, they are legit one piece away from winning a championship. Like, I think they are one piece away. Like, I look at them and Minnesota very similar, and I think Minnesota has Edwards, and the Rockets just still need that type of guy. And I don't even know that it has to be like somebody that young. It's just right now we've watched, you can see everything. The only thing you're looking at that they're missing is just like they just got to have that one dude, just one guy that is an elite player that can go get buckets, go get things. And I think with what the team they have and the ammo they have with the picks and the other young players they have,
pull it off.
They can go get it, right? And that to me is what you're looking for in this run, to see, like, I didn't know if they were that close, right? I wanted to see if they were that close. But, you know, as you said, Shingun is ready. Amen Thompson's only going to get better, and he is getting better with it. Tari East is going to get better. Jabari Smith, somebody I've been kind of up and down on. He's got it. Dylan is the right kind of crazy that you need for the team. They are just one piece away. One one particular type of piece away from really, really doing something. Someone texted in and said, one thing I've learned is we suck at free throws. Yeah, that is
it's a rough stretch here for a bit, didn't we?
That's a tough one. Yeah, like someone texted in, like, yeah, man, OKC, a big difference. They've got SGA, somebody you feel like that can go and get a bucket and they don't right now. So, but this has been, as I said, we talked about it with Brandon, this has been a very, very clear learning experience that they have gotten a lot from. All right, coming up, let's slide off the Rockets as we'll continue to get you ready for this game tonight coming up against the Warriors. But let's look at this. We look at this offense. That's the big thing. The defense, man, we know that defense over there is going to be nasty and probably win you half the games this year. But offensively, we're looking at this. Who on this Texans offense do you see can be a real player and taking a next step on this offense next year? Who is that? We'll discuss that coming up next right here live on The Drive.
Are we going to get your flowers for sure?
Live from the Annex Craft House, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Bud Light. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
All right, welcome in. Boy, I was getting nervous. I was going to say, boy, they said they're going to make it to all 10 stops and they finally rolled in here. I see you.
Boy, we got the couple?
Yeah, they're here. I knew it. I knew. Boy,
You love birds.
I knew Shannon smoked Newports. Everything in me, I knew. I knew she, everything about her. Said, hey, you Marlboros, ain't you? I could. Yep, I see them. Yep, everything. I knew her ass was Newports. I could just tell the whole way. They've been to every one of our stops. She finally became a winner last week.
Today's episode is sponsored by NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast. Life comes with big money questions. Is it better to max out your 401k or put more in a brokerage account? Does buying a home make financial sense in today's market? Should you use extra cash to pay off debt or invest? NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast has the answers. Their finance journalists break down investing and budgeting strategies to help you build wealth and navigate major financial decisions. Make smarter money moves. Follow NerdWallet's Smart Money Podcast wherever you listen.
Week for a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors in 4 trips. You could be a winner, as we will hook somebody up at the end of the 3 o'clock hour. And the other big thing here is our guy Shay, if you're in the building holding it up, you can use our QR code to enter the grand prize where you would win a $500 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser or Bud Light for a year. Free for a year, so you don't want to miss that. As we'll be doing that coming up in just a bit. By the way, I just saw, Clint, that Texans, they will hold their rookie minicamp coming up May 9th through the 10th. And
let's get May it 9th, out, baby.
May 9th and the 10th. They will host it coming up. And my man DJ Bieniemy said, oh, Jaden Higgins and Jalen Noel, they're going to be the ones people watching for. Yeah, because, I mean, you know, I the offensive line, man, you ain't D-line, you can't do nothing. But you want to see these dudes, him, Woody Marks, probably somebody else that'll be exciting to watch. I see it. Our Bud Light girls are out here, too, as well. Shout out to Bud Light as well, as they've got some some prizes for you as well to take on. But the rookie money camp, man, I'm sure we're going to hear, whoo.
Another step closer, man.
Oh, man, it is. You ain't lying, man. Training camp is going to be here for you. Know it.
We'll be sweating our asses off, like
Hell
you said.
Hell yeah, and you're going to be wearing pants out there.
Yeah. I feel like it was unnecessary.
It's a curse and a blessing.
I just don't think it is. I just want to.
It's like just one of them things, man.
Like, anytime I see Tyler in shorts, I want to buy champagne. Well, it just popped. Like, this pop bottles right there. My man went out there and said, to hell with it. Because that's when I know it's hot.
I mean, if I when told I know, you why, though.
I don't know if you have. That's when I know it's really hot, is when Tyler wears shorts. Yes, please. We've seen Tyler in shorts less than five times in the times that we've known him.
And the reason for that is because you're my coworker. And I had a grandfather. Oh, we brought him up yesterday whenever I told y'all my grandpa was a white guy. Hubert.
Yes.
Yeah.
Hubert. White Hubert.
So Hubert, I called him.
Which nobody ever doubted.
Yeah. But
no one did.
That was Pawpaw, and that was my guy, man. That's the best man I've ever known in my entire life. Love that dude. Miss him every day. But he instilled a lot of things in me when I was growing up, and one of which was he always told me, boy, you're going to church or you're going to work, you wear pants. And I know that's kind of out-of-the-box thinking or old-school thinking, but it's always stuck with me, and I've always done it.
Well, I mean, I ain't going to tell you.
I think Pawpaw would cut you a little slack at training camp.
Probably
cut you a little slack depending on
you
what
stupid
the, what
boy,
the,
it's hot.
What the work is that you're doing, right?
Like, but it's because I come to, you know, the station here where I am right now.
Like if you did porn, I don't think, like, hey, man, you better wear pants to work.
You know about that?
You can get away with it. I'm just saying, whatever it is, I think the job depends. But hey, man, that's what old Hubert taught you.
Yeah,
so
man.
You do what he does. But I know. Some days you sit up there and say, "Well, damn it, you know what, Pawpaw? I just can't do it." Man,
it's 104 out here, Pawpaw.
Back of my knees is sweating like bullets. All right, I did say this in the tease, Clint. Who on this offense do you get a sense can be a real player? Take a next step, because I think obviously last year there's a lot of candidates there that you would say, I don't know if they had a disappointing year, but disappointing to maybe not seeing exactly what you think they could be. Who are some of those for you?
I got a few, but it starts with Juice Scruggs. We've talked about the O-line, I mean, ad nauseum here in Houston, and the truth of the matter is if Juice Scruggs, and I'm just higher on him than most folks are, if Juice Scruggs can come in and just be a serviceable starting offensive guard in this league, or center, even better off center, then I think this offensive line takes a huge step in the right direction. And so, for some reason, I got a level of confidence. I like what I've seen, even through the struggles. I just think there's an extremely high ceiling. I think he's built the right way. I think he's got that dog in him. I think he's going to end up being a really good interior offensive lineman for the Texans. So it starts with Juice Scruggs for me.
Yeah, I'll let you go again because I got one that I'll let you go. You said you got a few.
The other one for me is Cade Stover. I don't think there's any secret that Cade Stover is going to be the hand in the dirt, in line tight end, and they've got high hopes for him. I think that's a tip of the iceberg, but I do think that there's a maybe not a Dalton Schultz level of overall athleticism, but I do think he can have the ability to separate a little bit more, play the game more physical, and I think that'll definitely help us in the run game and ultimately the pass protection game as well. And so I think Juice and Cade are the two for me that I for some reason have more confidence than I probably should in them and taking that next step.
Yeah, but for me, Clint, it's Dalton Schultz, man. I know how, I don't mean to get you here, but I'm just saying it's Dalton Schultz. When you start thinking about just from the thought of someone that can come and take the next step and be a real player for this offense to take it to the next to at least add to this offense, it's got to be him, man. He's got to be one of the ones at the top of the list in something, right? It's like last year, one of the things that was most frustrating is it's like he didn't even perform well enough at the part of the job that he's he's supposed to be good at, the part of the job that he got paid for. Now, listen, we're not in there. Obviously, Bobby was just awful for everybody, we've learned, apparently. And maybe Bobby really, you know, caused him to play terribly as well in the passing game also. But it's not just all him. Like, there are moments where he was open. There may have been some things that he didn't. But Dalton Schultz, I know you talked about Kate Slover. Dalton Schultz has to give them more. Obviously, as you've mentioned, the contract that he has and the money he's making. But he has got to be the guy on that list to take a step forward. It is Dalton Schultz, and we've talked about it. It's ridiculous out there. He is one of your highest paid guys on that side of the ball. He has got to take a step.
Well, ain't no doubt about that. I mean, hell, don't get me started on that. I mean, that is I mean, that's one of them deals. You know, when you get Nick Caley as an offensive coordinator, former tight ends coach, and you look at Dalton Schultz last year and you look at the overall contract, like, that's one of them deals that just has to happen. And I'm fine with it just being in the pass game, you know, being a pass catching, predominantly a pass catching tight end. I'm fine with that. I don't need him to go out there and be the greatest pass protector out there, but you got to get some value out of that guy some way, shape, or form, or you can't justify him being on the field. Like, when you've got a one-sided player like that,
yep.
Like, you've got to get – there's got to be, like, an undeniable advantage in the pass game when he's on the field. He has to be the security blanket for C.J. Stroud. He has to be the guy that when you get covered by a linebacker, it's a mismatch and he can separate. There has to be some level of big-time advantage – in the pass game, because you're a liability in the run in the run game. I take it back. That's it. You're a liability in the pass protecting game, and you struggle getting it done in the run game. So that big time advantage in the pass game has to be there. He has to produce in a big way in clutch situations, which may be the most disappointing part of Dalton Schultz 2024. It is boy, in clutch situations a couple of times when you needed it the most, when the offense was struggling, he dropped balls or he wasn't able to separate. A couple of those plays, I think the narrative changes.
I got another weird one, and it's Nico Collins. Can he take the next step of staying healthy?
Ooh, yeah.
You know what I mean? Like, some of the stuff you can't control, but he does seem to have the same type of injuries. And, like, he is – when he's on the field – the last 2 years, he has been one of the best in the game. But every single year of his career, I believe he has missed, you know, multiple games. Last year was a big 5 or 6 weeks that he missed. This had nothing to do with him taking a step on the field, although nobody is stopping you if you want to improve your game and take it up a notch. But when you look at their receiving, boy, they need him to be on the field and stay healthy. And some of that, I do think there's some guys that have got to, in the offseason, do things to work on themselves with these soft tissue injuries that he's always getting. You know, it's hamstring. I think it's multiple years he's had hamstrings that have set him out. So there have been some big games that he has missed. So you can jump in on the chat as well on guys that you feel like need to take big steps. All right. Coming up as we continue right here, we will hook somebody else up with a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors. So if you have not done so, you might want to do that. We'll be doing that in about 20 minutes. And we'll look at a team that the Texans potentially will have to deal with. And they are making some changes, potentially. We'll let you know what that is coming up next.
Live from the Annex Craft House, it's the Sports Radio 610 Crawfish Circuit, supported by Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser. Here's The Drive with Sterner and Hughley.
Yeah, I'll let you know when I come up with something. Welcome back in as we are here live here on our fifth stop. And shout out to our couple. They've been to every one of the stops here. This is their fifth stop. They've been here. We'll see if they actually going to make it to all 10 of them. But they said they takes off work to come join us every single week. So we're happy to see everybody who decided to come out as well. Coming up, as I see someone just entered, our competition. You got a chance to win a $25 gift card to Academy Sports and Outdoors coming up after this segment. We'll do that after this segment, and you can enter to win our grand prize as well, $500 to Academy Sports and Outdoors and Budweiser Bud Light free for a year. As we're live here at the Annex. I saw someone texting. Where are you all at? We are at the Annex Craft House, Vintage Park. Come on out. Have a good time. It's a good spot. Don't let the rain. Hey, it stopped. It came out. It sprinkled a little bit, but don't let it slow you down. Come on out and have a good time.
Beer's still cold when it rains, y'all.
Ooh, it is. It certainly is. Crawfish is going. You can normally get them here for $4.50 a pound. Now, from 2 to 6, they're $3.50 a pound, so you can't pass that up. So you might want to get those. And Clint said that he would recommend them.
$3.50 a pound.
$3.50 a pound.
Oh, let's get up. Let's get your ass off the couch. Take the next exit. That's a price right there. And I'm gonna tell you, these ain't $3.50 a pound type of crawfish.
First thing you said, good size.
Size is tremendous. Like I said, the meat just slides right out of there.
Tyler, set up.
The spice is right. You can add the spice, whatever spice you want to it. I mean, come on, $3.50? You kidding me?
That's what he did like say. That meat, just slides right out.
But if you don't cook them right, the meat gets stuck. It's hard to get it out of the. It's hard to get it out of the tail.
You never want your meat getting stuck.
Yeah, you don't want it hard to get out of the tail.
You never want your meat getting stuck in the tail. That is the deal. I mean,
you made my man whip around.
I hear you, man.
Well, hey boys.
Yeah, hey girl, how you doing? We're talking about crawfish, though, Laura.
Hey, Clint, we are still in this deal where the Pittsburgh Steelers quarterback is still Mason Rudolph right now. He is still their number one quarterback right now. We don't know what's going on with Aaron Rodgers yet. I thought after the draft we might see that come about. But, Clint, now a new part to this. Ian Rappaport says this, Clint, that the Steelers could be an option for Kirk Cousins if this thing with Aaron Rodgers doesn't go through. If Aaron Rodgers doesn't go to Pittsburgh, I think it's a real possibility for Kirk Cousins, who's with Atlanta making that money. He's right now set to be the backup right now. But that could be an option. What do you – because this is a team that made the playoffs with the Texans. I think right now you would have them in a whatever tier behind the Texans, I would say, just because their quarterback situation is so up in the air right now. I know you are high on the Steelers with an Aaron Rodgers, especially if they get the Aaron Rodgers who was starting to play a little bit better down the stretch for the Jets last year. How do you view them with a Kirk Cousins? How do you view the Steelers when it comes to the AFC, when it comes to a football team with everything they've got? Obviously, they've added DK Metcalf. They had a pretty good draft by most counts. How do you view them if Kirk Cousins is the quarterback?
Well, more dangerous than they were last year.
With either Fields or Russ.
Yes, more dangerous than you know any quarterback that was available when they got there. So I think your options are limited. But look, when you've got two, I mean killer wide receivers out wide. You've got a great tight end. Assuming they got their offensive line right, which I think we got better as the year went on last year, was actually pretty good mid-year on. Yeah. Getting a veteran quarterback that's not going to be surprised, that's going to handle pressure well, that's going to deliver the football wherever it needs to be delivered on time, which is Kirk Cousins. He's not going to try to do too much kind of deal. And when he does, it turns into interceptions. So there is a boom or bust factor here with Kirk Cousins. It could be really good or really bad. But, you know, I think that team needs that veteran that when a mistake is made, it's not made out of youth. It's made because he got too aggressive or it's made because the defense made a play. I don't like him anywhere near as much as I do Aaron Rodgers, but obviously I do. I think that team's a tough beat if you got either one of those.
Like, I'm not going to lie to you. Kirk looked bad at times last year in Atlanta, but he was coming off of year one of that Achilles.
He couldn't even move early in the season.
I do wonder, because some people say, like, you know, that first year you don't feel right until maybe the year after. I do, again, you know, Kirk's not going to be somebody that's running or anything, but he just seemed like he wasn't right the whole time and just a sitting duck in a way. He couldn't even maneuver around the pocket. I do wonder how he feels year two of that Achilles and instead of it. If they get Minnesota Kirk Cousins, then that that fits in with what they have.
Well, that's what you're betting on. Hopefully not Atlanta, right? But the thing is with Arthur Smith there as the offensive coordinator. I mean, I like Kirk Cousins doing what Ryan Tannehill did a couple years in Tennessee. I think is very doable. Now he doesn't have Derrick Henry, obviously. So that's a different animal, but. I think that would be a very good fit with Arthur Smith. Now, the interesting thing is Aaron Rodgers, and how does Aaron Rodgers and Arthur Smith fit together? I mean, if Arthur Smith has any sense, he would adjust his offense to Aaron Rodgers' strengths, and they would meet in the middle and be really dangerous with the weapons that they have. So I think that's the interesting thing is Kirk Cousins to Aaron Rodgers, it changes the offense pretty significantly, and can Arthur Smith handle either way?
Yeah, because I know you said with Aaron – how did you feel about them compared to the Texans? With Aaron, you felt like they were in the same range. If the Steelers were to get,
I mean they're in the same tiers. If you get an Aaron Rodgers, hell, they may even be there with Kirk Cousins. I mean, yeah,
Do you feel that way with Kirk too?
Well, yeah, I mean, because you're talking about a playoff team without Kirk. So I mean, you know, however you feel about Kirk with that guy, I mean, he obviously makes you a little bit better. I mean, Aaron, I think, makes you significantly better. And so, yeah, I mean, we're talking a team that's a first or second round playoff team. Yeah, I think they're in the same.
Yeah.
Not near as sexy because you know, the Texans are trending in the right direction where I don't know that even the Steelers with just adequate quarterback play getting to the second round, I don't know if that's really going to turn Steeler Nation on.
Yeah.
I
don't know. They hadn't won a playoff game in quite some time.
Yeah, but there's some high standards.
There's some high standards,
man. And I think they could stomach a young quarterback that's their future winning 10 games and getting to the first or second round. But boy, you start kind of floating around, you know, the middle of the pack, and you got a quarterback that's a rental that's 40. And, I mean, I don't know if that's going to keep them happy.
No, they're looking. But right now, they're staring down Aaron Rodgers, Mason Rudolph, the kid from Ohio State and K-State.
Will Howard. I'm telling you, Will Howard may be in. I started to add him into my list yesterday, Ron. He may be sitting in the catbird.
He might be in play, yeah.
I mean, if you know, you're talking about a guy like that is just not the most gifted. So in the draft and in the combine settings and all that testing stuff, tangibles, he's just never going to compare. But if he comes in there and he can take an average team and be the intangible that brings them together and does something, I mean, I don't know that he's that guy, but he clearly did a good job at Ohio State. Long shot. I don't think Steeler Nation wants to see that, though. Will Howard, even though he did win a national title, I don't know if that's real sexy.
Before we get to Dirty's Daily, did you see your boy J.J. Redick? His press conference yesterday after his after-season press conference, they asked him, what do you think the Lakers need to do to get better, to advance? He said, first, I think we need to get into championship shape. He said, there are individuals that were in phenomenal shape, and then there's certainly other ones that could have been in better shape. We have to get in championship shape, is what he said.
Mm.
My man JJ, boy, I mean, you should have just said Luka, right?
Yeah, I would think so. Oh, Nico Harrison sitting at home smiling.
I'm just saying, JJ might want to rethink maybe a little bit his tactic and ways of how he's going on this thing here, man. Because, I mean.
Oh, I like it.
I know you like it.
That's one reason I love Ime Udoka, too. The flat out just, hey, man. Here's the deal. I love that. I love it. Now,
Ime will, though, but you got to take responsibility also. I mean, there's not much accountability when some of these decisions that he's made.
Sure. Yeah, I don't follow him close enough to know whether he's.
It's been more of the feel of like, hey, man, what? I'm damned if I do, damned if I don't. Not like, I made that call. Maybe. No, he's in there. They ask him, what can we do to get better? Certainly he wasn't going to say, hey, man, maybe not play these guys. But I'm just saying, if you're going to say my man needs to get a championship shape, what's championship shape? Is that playing the entire second half of a game without coming out? Like, I just wonder if, and I know you love it, but I do wonder with with everything that's happening, you know exactly what this is going to mean and do. And I think he's smart and understands that this is going right to Luka. Right, this one.
Yeah. Not handling, well, you just hope Luka hears it, right? He hadn't heard it yet to this point in his career, so you hope he hears it.
And I wonder if JJ's going to be the one, to clean it out. But yeah, my man, going for it. I just want JJ to come through and say, yeah, maybe I shouldn't have played them 24 minutes. Second half, maybe I should have played the center. That is a cat right there that is so stubborn. My man came in and said, you know what, I made the decision. I believe this is the best chance for us to win. I don't care how many rebounds Rudy gets. I am not going to change.
Stick with it.
I'm going to stick with it. I'm going to stick with this thing until the end. I don't care how many rebounds he gets. All right, as we continue here live on our fifth stop, Clint, what you got coming up in the four?
Well, I got there's Warren Moon, and we all know who Warren Moon is. He's pissing me off.
Oh, God.
He's pissing me off, Tyler.
He's been on the show before. I guess that was the last time.
I'm not saying anything bad about the man. He's just pissing me off. I mean, I don't.
You're right pulling these feelings, bro.
I mean, I just this Oiler Texan Titan thing has really never bothered me.
I think we should get him on here to answer.
Warren's. He's pissing me off, and I got a question for
I'll text him.
I got a question for all of our female listeners out there. I got a Mother's Day right around the corner. I got a question for all the lady listeners out there. We'll do that next, right here on Sports Radio 610.
Drive's busting this day open.
Busting wide the hell open, ain't it?
And we're telling them to bring it back.